Hello, everybody, and welcome back. In my studio, I have one of the most widely read writers on the Middle East in the world today, Caroline Glick, who is a senior contributing editor to the Jerusalem Post. She lives in Israel. She has been for, what is it now, so 23 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
And it is a real, it's a real pleasure to have her, and she's, her columns are read throughout the world, and they are passionate, and they are intellectual. She has a book out called The Israeli Solution, A One-State Plan for Peace in the Middle East. To have a pro-Israel person advocate a one-state solution is so rare. It's sort of the, what is it, your five-legged horse or something? So anyway, welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. It's great to have you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on your program, Dennis.
You're very welcome. So tell us what this is, because everybody thinks that a one state means the end of Israel as a Jewish state. So what is your plan?
Well, everybody claiming that is basing their assertions on a lie, which is the Palestinian census count that inflated the number of Palestinians west of the Jordan by 50% and asserted that the Palestinians have the highest fertility rate in the world, when in fact Jews are having more children than they are, and that they were going to have massive immigration rates when they're hemorrhaging immigrants. So both the base population that they claim they have and the extrapolations for future growth are completely false. And when you look at the actual numbers, you realize that demography is one of Israel's strategic assets, not its primary strategic liability. So if Israel were to apply its laws and through them its sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, the West Bank of the Jordan River, and all of the Palestinians were to receive Israeli citizenship tomorrow, Jews would still make up a two-thirds majority of Israel, and that majority would likely grow in coming years as a result of high birth rates and high immigration rates.
So on what do you base that? Why have we been fed the wrong figures all these years?
Because in 1997, the Palestinian Authority, the PLO's governing arm in the areas, published a census, which they claimed it said that there were close to 4 million Palestinians west of the Jordan, and that due to high birth rates and immigration rates, the number of Palestinians west of the Jordan River was going to surpass the number of Jews by 2015. Since that initial, and everybody accepted them, even though the numbers that they gave were completely out of line with the numbers that the Israeli civil administration of the military government had assessed just the previous year in 1996, based upon their annual assessments of the Palestinian population, and everybody just accepted them, and nobody questioned them until 2004. When a group of American researchers and Israeli researchers got together and just started counting heads. They examined border crossings data, see who's coming in, who's leaving. They examined school matriculation numbers for first graders. They examined the Palestinian Central Elections Commission's numbers for registered voters for the 1996 elections, and then later for the 2005 presidential elections. And they realized that the PLO had totally falsified their data. They had double-counted the Arabs of Jerusalem. They had added over 100,000 people who simply don't exist. They were counting Palestinians who live abroad, something that no Census Bureau in the entire world does. You don't count citizens who are expatriates. They did. And in the end, they came to the conclusion that they had falsified the data to 50%, which would be like the U.S. Census Bureau adding just artificially over 100 million people to the U.S. Census count overnight. And that's what they did. They exaggerated the Palestinian population count anywhere between 1.1 million and 1.34 million. And the news has only gotten worse for the Palestinians year in and year out, with massive immigration and rising immigration rates. People don't want to live there.
Wow. So if the numbers had not been false, you would not be advocating the one-state solution that you do?
No.
Okay, that's very interesting. 1-8-PRAGER-776.
Not necessarily true.
All right, well, okay, you'll have time. I'm speaking to Caroline Glick. Her book, The Israeli Solution, is up at DennisPrager.com. She's in from Israel. I'm Dennis Prager. I can't think of a more widely read writer on the Middle East than Carolyn Glick. She's a contributing editor to the Jerusalem Post. She's on a North American tour for her just-released book, The Israeli Solution, a one-state plan for peace in the Middle East. And as you just heard, it is primarily based on what she contends are the real numbers of Jews and Palestinians in the area west of the Jordan River, that is west of the state of Jordan. And that is that if everybody were in one state, there would still be a two-thirds Jewish majority. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, I'm detracting Gaza from there because Israel left Gaza in 2005. So what the plan calls for is Israel applying its laws to Judea and Samaria, to the West Bank, but not to Gaza, which is, to all intents and purposes, an independent state of Palestine.
So that would be, in effect, that little strip would be Palestine?
Yeah. I mean, whatever they want it to be. But it's not Israel.
Right. So the notion of a Palestinian state, obviously, that would end.
Yes, it would. This is an abandonment of the two-state paradigm. This is saying, okay, look, you know, like part one of my book explains how the two-state solution policy model has failed consistently for 90 years and has never succeeded. It has only failed, and each time that it's been tried, it has not brought peace. It has brought, in some cases, war, and in every case, at a minimum, a deterioration of the conditions on the ground for the people who live there.
What's in this for a Palestinian?
Full civil rights, freedom, the ability to become citizens of Israel, be offering them something that nobody else has ever given them, which is freedom, full civil rights, everything.
Right, everything but their own national
Well,
expression.
I mean, I think what we've seen over the past 20 years specifically of the two-state solution being tried and failed since 1993 by Bill Clinton and then picked up by Bush and Obama today is that every time that the Palestinians are offered a state, and this predates even the current 20-year failure, they reject it. They could have had a state at any time since 1937, and every single time that they've been offered a state, they've rejected it. Because at base, the Palestinian leadership is not interested in establishing a Palestinian state, and we just have to accept that for what it is. What they want, and they say they want repeatedly, and they have said repeatedly and acted towards for the past 90 years, is the annihilation of the Jewish state. And we just have to finally accept that this is not something that they
All
want.
All right, so what do you say to having millions of people in your population who want to annihilate your state?
Well, we already do. I mean, you know, we're talking about 3 million people, and you know, a lot of them do. But what can you do? I mean, you have to prevent them from doing that, and it's much easier for Israel to prevent people from doing that by being in control than it is by letting a terrorist organization that cultivates their hatred be in control. And you know, I don't understand why we should have sympathy for aspirations of people whose aspirations are based upon negating us and destroying us. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I asked you before the break if the demographic figures were what they have been believed to be, and that is that Palestinians outnumber or will outnumber Jews, would you be for the one-state solution? You said no, and then you said, well, I'd like to restate that, so go ahead.
Okay, thanks. So here's the deal. The real demographic threat that Israel faces is a Palestinian state. I mean, that is the only existential demographic threat that Israel faces, because if the PLO were to control the Jordan River border of Israel with Jordan, then they would control their immigration policy and they would bring in millions of foreign Arabs who have been living in UN-run refugee camps in Syria and Lebanon and in other countries that are run by Ahmed Jibril, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas. And they seek the annihilation of Israel. Israel would then be sitting in a rump Jewish state with an indefensible border, that you have Jerusalem as a divided city that people would have free entry into. And the path of these millions of people into an indefensible Israel would be straight and without obstacle. And that is the existential threat to Israel, because the problem isn't so much numbers, it's intent. And the people who the Palestinian Authority would want to bring in, would be bringing in by the millions if they had sovereignty, are people who seek the annihilation of Israel, not people who say, okay, we'll live happily in Jenin or Ramallah or Nablus or anywhere else.
Let's talk about some of the current events. Obviously, you're not a fan, given your politics, and I completely understand that and happen to identify with much of that. But to the extent that you could speak about Israelis in general, are they less secure in American protection today than under previous presidents?
Well, I mean, the data clearly show that the overwhelming majority of Israelis believe so. You have over 70% of Israelis who say that they don't trust John Kerry when he says that he's going to guarantee Israel's security, or that we can trust the United States to act in a manner that's going to ensure Israel's security. I mean, so it's not just me. These are just the statistical data.
What is the general?
The sense is a very deep and abiding distrust of the Obama administration and their intentions towards Israel.
And what did you think of your defense minister's comments exactly about that, that the United States now has a weak president?
Well, I just wrote my column in today's Jerusalem Post defending him, and I think he said something very important. I think it was important for the Israeli people to hear, even though it was leaked and he didn't intend them to, and I think that it's important because it's not just a position that's unique to Israel. All of America's allies throughout the world are saying the same thing, that the United States is abandoning its allies and cultivating appeasement towards America's foes, and as a consequence, in continent after continent, in area after area, U.S. allies are terrified by what's happening in Washington.
Yeah, I have to say, as an American, I don't understand how the administration can boast of retreating from the world and then get angry at allies for saying you're retreating from the world. We'll be back in a moment. Carolyn Glick, her book is up at DennisPrager.com. Hi, everybody. This is A Thoughtful Woman, and her book is The Israeli Solution, A One-State Plan for Peace in the Middle East. She's a senior contributing editor to the Jerusalem Post. She's on a North American tour. Carolyn Glick. Glick, I'm sorry. You know, I was so preoccupied. I mean, I read you all the time, and here I am doing that, but I never pronounce your name. I just read you. Rick in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Carolyn. I have a friend in Israel with another guy. They have a blog, if I can mention it, called On Target Middle East. And he just had an article in there that was extremely long, and I wish I had read it better. But he took some interesting statistics, and he doesn't quite agree with you. My question to you is, in your book, do you footnote and let us know where we could look up these statistics and where you get your information?
Absolutely. Everything in my book is documented. In fact, that's probably why it took three times the amount of time it would have taken if it had just been a column to write, because absolutely everything that I write in my book is documented.
Including the obvious here, and that is the demographics.
Heavily.
Yeah. So the final question, there are two ones that stick out, and that is having within your population millions of people who loathe you and feel that they were cheated out of their own national expression, and the other is the national expression having been suppressed. You don't worry about that?
No, I mean, the truth is that one of the things that we did was we suppressed the Palestinians of the areas when we put them under the jackboot of the PLO. And we said, oh, you have one legitimate representative. We don't look at you as individuals. We don't care what you think. We're giving Yasser Arafat supreme and complete power over your lives. And by 1996, 98% of them were living under his control. But when you look at the polling data, you see that the Palestinians admire Israeli democracy more than they admire any other democracy by a two-thirds to three-quarter margin. You see that 59% of Palestinians oppose an Israeli withdrawal from Judea and Samaria. You see numbers that tell a tale that's completely at odds with what we keep being told by the media and by leaders who are just besotted by this notion that Israel is in the wrong here. So I think that as well, you know, yes, you're going to have people who are going to be upset. And, you know, look, they will be part of a liberal democracy and they'll be able to participate in it and you know, in accordance with international law.
Whatever your views, you have to read this book. Carolyn Glick, I keep reading you. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
In.